Chapter 1. War and Peace. The trunks of centuries-old pine swayed gently, emitting a barely audible humming sound. One could occasionally hear the penetrating chirp of a lone nocturnal bird. A fire was lit in the center of a large forest clearing, and people gathered around it little by little. Hay crowded around the neatly gathered tippy-shaped stack of burning logs that was surrounded by an even circle of carefully selected natural stones. Along the perimeter of the clearing, lanterns hung on the trunks of the trees. They served as an additional source of light, enhancing the scene with a halo of mystery in the rapidly approaching twilight. The students walked along a wide, well-trodden path while talking quietly to each other. They stopped, approached the fire, and took their places in a circle. The young women and men looked around with curiosity. Some of them were there for the first time, and their faces wore expressions of the thrill of anticipation. Orange robes of the students who had been on the spiritual path for a long time flashed here and there in the glow of the fire's flames. The older men and women looked focused, even tense. Many of them had anxiety in their eyes. The stream of people that extended along the forest path gradually began to thin out, and all the free space in the natural clearing was filled. Everyone was waiting for him to appear. The murmur of voices ceased when the master's assistant, a fair-haired woman in a long canvas dress, stood on the small platform that had been arranged near the burning fire. Her loose hair flowed down softly over her shoulders, and her large blue eyes shone with perspicacity. "Inhale and exhale deeply," she said. The sound of her melodious, strong voice echoing through the clearing. "Feel the enlightened guardian of knowledge here and say a prayer with him." People froze for a moment, gazing at the assistant. Then together, without talking, in unison, they inhaled the invigorating night forest air, stretching their diaphragms. They immediately exhaled, relaxing, slowly letting the air out of their lungs, and prepared for the upcoming spiritual conversation. The guardian appeared silently, as if he materialized directly from the air flickering in the light of the fire. The hem of his traditional dark robes fell to the ground. His high cylindrical headdress and firm collar pointed upward, indicating his connection to the higher forces. The guardian raised his hands and made a greeting gesture. He gave the audience a loving look that exuded quiet confidence and steady inner light. He spoke, filling the space around him with pure vibrating energy. His lips pronounced the words of a prayer that praised God. As the students tuned in with the sage, they began to repeat the prayer. Their gazes were filled with sublime emotions, and their faces brightened. When the prayer was over, the master made a few steps backward, and his assistant took the front position again. "Dear, the guardian will now answer your questions," she said. "Listen to the knowledge and wisdom he will transfer to you attentively." There was a muffled rumble of voices among the people. For a moment, a solemn silence hung over the clearing, and one could hear the crackling of wood and the flickering of sparks. A short, tanned woman with a stern, concentrated face asked him the first question. She looked to be about 40. The first wrinkles had already started forming on her face, and a deep crease had grown between her eyebrows. The student's copper-toned hair was braided into two tight braids and tucked under a white headscarf. "Guardian of the knowledge, could you please tell me why there are always wars in the world?" she asked, and her voice echoed her ill-concealed heartache. "How could God allow such injustice?" The sage looked at his student with warmth, sending her an energy of love and support. "Maria, that is a very good question," he smiled. "First, God created beautiful worlds, full of bliss, joy, and happiness. Angels lived in those worlds. But then God saw that the angels were being satiated with bliss and joy. Their souls were not gaining the necessary experience and were not becoming wiser. Then God created the physical world. Suffering, ignorance, delusion, and torment appeared on the physical plane. And so, the souls of the angels who began to incarnate in the physical world became wiser. They experienced suffering and then became more appreciative of the bliss they had in the original worlds. Dear Master, can we say that the physical world where we now live is hell compared to the subtle plane? Asked a young skinny girl in a ringing voice. She arrived among the first attendees and now stood in the front row, eagerly absorbing every word of the sage. Yes, Lisa, we can. He nodded approvingly. That's why there are such difficult challenges as wars, various disasters, catastrophes, misfortunes, poverty, commodity riots and politicians' lies. But our task is to use all difficult situations of this harsh physical world for the development of our souls, and to help other souls to develop. Guardian, is there anything we can do to make this physical world a better place? Maria asked hopefully, with bated breath. It was obvious that this question was burning and very important to her. To help people learn the hard lessons faster. To do that, we should fill ourselves with sublime emotions, prayer, compassion. Gently said the sage. And try to convey these sublime emotions to as many people as possible, so that these people too will begin to pray, to experience compassion and sublime emotions instead of negative ones. Will they too begin to convey these sublime emotions to others, and will this chain expand further? Lisa asked enthusiastically. It means that more and more people will receive and share bliss with others, and then there will be more good in the world. Do I get that right, Master? The sage smiled at the girl's words and nodded. Yes. The souls that live on Earth, in the physical world, will learn the hard lessons quicker. Then, they will travel to the world of angels, where they will be in complete bliss again. Lisa nodded thankfully. In the meantime, a fit man with a perfectly straight posture and confident gaze stepped forward. He was looking at the sage with an expectant expression, waiting for his permission to ask his question. Guardian, the age of Aquarius is expansion, creativity, and creation. He began talking in a confident, well-positioned voice, after he had received an approving gesture from the sage. How is it that once again the world experiences destruction and war? The gods of the planet wanted the golden age of prosperity and culture to start on Earth. It is not working out the way it was supposed to. The student looked at the sage with pain and regret. Why? Will there ever come a time for beauty and peace on Earth? The master's lips curved into a faint, enigmatic smile that revealed a luminous sadness. As I told you earlier, the physical plane is made for suffering, for ignorance, from which man has to get out. He explained. That's why it's never easy here. There will always be difficulties here on Earth. The sage paused and spread his hand slightly, pointing to the fire burning in front of him, to the students, as if inviting everyone to witness. But look. Just the fact that you and I can gather and practice spirituality is a great achievement. It is not always possible, and not everywhere on Earth are there such good circumstances. Therefore, we should appreciate that we are now given the opportunity to develop, to become wiser and more conscious. That we are given the opportunity to cultivate sublime emotions. So it appears that the absolute peace and prosperity on Earth is unattainable. The man asked with regret. The guardian of knowledge noticed the state of his student and sent him rays of support woven from ethereal energy. Vadim, difficulties have always existed and will always exist on the physical plane, the sage repeated, stating the indisputable fact, but without giving any emotional evaluation to it, and thus, between the lines telling him that this fact must simply be accepted as a starting point. We cannot escape these difficulties, but we can change ourselves internally. Instead of being vulnerable and succumbing to the negative states imposed on us by demons and larvas, we can move into sublime states. We should use every situation as a spiritual practice, for our own development and to become wiser. Vadim's face lit up. One could tell that he felt the energy of the master on the physical level. He wasn't just hearing his words, but felt them from within, accepted them, let the knowledge pass through his soul. Meanwhile, another student, a bright black-browed woman, had already raised her hand. Dear Master, what is the best thing to do in wartime to help people? She asked. Shall we continue organizing spiritual classes in the cities, or shall we strive to become a mentor? Irina, both of these missions are important. But in any case, you need to gather as many people as possible, explain the truth to them and lead them to God. Whatever you do, be it mentoring or organizing, offering self-development classes in the cities. If a lot of people start seeing clearly, realize the truth, cultivate prayer and sublime emotions, the situation on earth will improve. Thank you, Master. The student answered gratefully. Is there any regularity? When does the situation worsen? Do people themselves influence it or does it happen without their participation? The situation on earth worsens when people become preoccupied with material interests and things. Explained the guardian of knowledge. When they begin to think too much about themselves. The more a person thinks about material wealth and about himself, the more negative emotions they will have. But why is it so? Irina wondered. It happens because I is the biggest unsolvable problem for a person. Everyone who thinks a lot about themselves, about their personal needs and interests, gets immersed in negativity, bad thoughts and emotions, because these selfish interests can never be fully satisfied. Imagine, there are more and more people of that kind. If so many people experience negative emotions, then these emotions accumulate in the atmosphere of our planet in the form of storm clouds, and lightning starts to strike from there. This lightning is wars, revolutions, commodity riots and crime epidemic. But our task is to help as many people as possible to start praying and to channel the sublime emotions around them. We should make people stop thinking about themselves, but instead, think more about how to help their neighbor, the people around them. Then, these dark clouds will begin to disperse, and the disasters that have overtaken the earth will begin to diminish. Why are the dark forces winning now? Are we weaker than they are? Irina asked with genuine incomprehension. The dark forces win because so many people succumb to the negative influence and ignorance that is conveyed through mass media. Our task is to explain wisdom to people, open their eyes, convey sublime states, and teach them how to be in sublime emotions. Then people will begin to see. And the dark forces will not be able to influence them. Satisfied with her master's answer, Irina mixed with the ranks of other students. Her eyes lit up with excitement. A few phrases spoken by the sage helped her find clarity and gave her hope for a better future for the world. She was not thinking of herself now, but of the dozens, hundreds of people who were yet to wake up and gain knowledge. A few more hands rose in the crowd, and the guardian of knowledge pointed with an open palm in the direction of a short-haired guy with pronounced cheekbones and an open, piercing gaze. Master. The guy bowed his head respectfully, beginning his question, which he asked with the heat of youthful exuberance. Why did the higher powers allow such evil men to govern? Who rules everything in the world, anyway? Why won't spiritual people come to power? The fact is that a spiritual person does not seek to govern states. The master eagerly explained in a confident, steady voice. They are engaged in spirituality, in the development of their soul. But, guardian, in earlier times at the dawn of empires, there were civilizations that were ruled by priests. The young man continued excitedly. We observed a period of prosperity at that time, and then everyone was engaged in spiritual development. He became silent, looking questioningly at the master, awaiting his comment. Yes, indeed, there were such periods. He affirmed. And while these priests carried out the will of God, there were favorable periods of history, in which peace and prosperity prevailed, and people were engaged in spiritual development. The last civilization of this kind is in India. There is still a high spiritual level there. The sage paused and looked around to see how well everyone understood him, how much they were ready to advance today in their knowledge of the truth. But in other civilizations, the dark forces came to power. He continued. because it is they who strive for power and war. Demons incarnate in humans and make sure that they occupy the ruling position. As soon as they come to power, they try to eliminate any spirituality and spread mistrust in wise people who bring knowledge within society, or even replace a formal spirituality that gives nothing to people. Master, can you give us an example of such a substitution? Maria asked. The sage readily explained. The most famous example is when the Pope blessed the Inquisition and the Crusades. Think about it, how can a spiritual person bless a war that kills thousands of innocent people? The guardian of knowledge asked his students this question and went silent. He gave them an opportunity to ponder on the answer, which was self-evident. It means, spirituality became formal even at that time, said the sage after a pause. It became politics. So, our task is to revive real spirituality, true knowledge and wisdom. We have to pass this on to people so that they will comprehend the truth, cultivate sublime emotions, and free themselves from the power of the dark forces. Great One, how can I gather a large group in my city at this difficult time? Maria asked again and looked up to the Master, waiting for specific instructions from him. How do we help all the students unite now, given the situation in the world? This situation has arisen because people have become too enthusiastic about consumerism and have wallowed in their selfish interests, seeing the value of life in material things and accumulation. The Guardian explained. And now God is giving us an awakening in the form of all the disasters that have been happening to humanity in recent years. It is important to explain this to the people. They must understand the true reasons behind current events in the world. Now people are being given an opportunity to awaken and to finally think about the real meaning of life. That is, what is the meaning of all material things, if the world will soon be destroyed in World War III? Maria asked him again, to understand better what the Master was saying. Yes, you got the point right. He confirmed. People nowadays have a unique opportunity to awaken and understand something and then act. Therefore, we have to gather people for spiritual studies more actively, to explain everything to them. They should think about what is really going on, why we live in such a world. If they really think about it, ask the right questions, and begin to look for the meaning of life, then they can be saved and brought to the spiritual path. Then they will start practicing, develop, a fire of sublime emotions will start in their hearts, and they will want to share it with like-minded people. These people will be able to bring many more people. We can save the earth this way and push back World War III. The words of the Guardian of Knowledge sounded solemn and exciting as they resonated in the silence. The students froze, letting themselves absorb the just received meanings, charged with enthusiasm from their master. Their faces showed hope, a resolve to act, to bring spiritual light to those who are not yet awake and do not yet understand the essence of global events. But the spiritual conversation was not over. The students still had many questions, and the sage was ready to answer them. A slightly overweight student, 30 years old, with mischievous golden curls, whose rounded shoulders were covered with a thin multicolored scarf, raised her hand. Master, why are women afraid of prayer? She asked and hastily explained. I invite them to the class and offer us to pray for the war to stop. And they say that they like yoga, and they're ready to attend a yoga class, but that they can pray on their own at home, and that they don't need to come to the group for this. A person alone cannot attune himself to prayer. Calmly explained the Guardian of Knowledge, who listened attentively to the student's question. In a group with many like-minded people, the attitude is much stronger. If there are many people praying together, this common prayer becomes very powerful and can have very strong favorable consequences. It can be difficult for a person to tune in this way at home, and often there is no opportunity to do it. At home there are a lot of household chores, children, parents, neighbors, in short, there are too many obstacles to tune in to God. A person doesn't want to pray because they wallow in selfishness. They think only of themselves, consider their own interests the only important thing, and do not want to think about other people nor help them. If such people pray, it is only for themselves, asking God to give them something. We know that if you pray only for yourself, God gives very little. You should pray for all people. If you want to get something, you should wish the same for all people, and then your prayer will spread, the divine flow will become much more powerful, and then favorable changes will happen in life much faster. It means that we need to explain to them that it is collective prayer that will be powerful. Am I right? The woman asked, emphasizing the word collective with her intonation. Yes, Tatyana, absolutely right. Smiled the master approvingly. Do I also have to explain the true meaning of wars to people? The woman asked again. That they help humans to awaken. Yes, we should definitely talk about that. The sage confirmed. If a person is too selfish, then they will keep facing new troubles and misfortunes all the time, so that they will think about the meaning of life and whether they are living it correctly. In this way, a person comes to understand that if they are selfish, isolated from the world, focused on themselves and their own interests, they will not be able to save themselves, and will not be able to do good to people. What if a person is an atheist? Vadim, who had already asked questions and was now standing in the front row, suddenly asked. Then he will not learn any lessons, and this person will never wake up. When a war begins and people find themselves in the trenches, when bullets are whizzing by, then even the most convinced atheists start praying to God. Answered the sage, and his words brought about a new volley of silence. The students froze, pondering over these words, while the guardian continued his explanation. The threat to life forces the awakening of a person's essence, all that is true and real in a human being. Atheists only formally think that there is no God. In fact, when they face a difficult or dangerous situation, they begin to pray immediately. For that reason, God creates these difficult situations, so that people think about the meaning of their existence, realize that they cannot cope with all difficulties on their own, remember God, and begin to pray as soon as possible. God pushes them to become more spiritual at the earliest possible moment, to set aside this bad situation, and not let it grow more intense. The master fell silent and again looked around the crowd with an attentive, loving gaze, nodding in the direction of the young blonde student in the middle of the crowd, who, for some time now, had been insistently raising her hand with the intention of asking her question. Beloved Master, tell me, why was I born at this particular time when there are wars in Chechnya, in Afghanistan, in Ukraine? And now the world is on the brink of global war. In fact, this is a very good time. The sage spoke softly. For example, when I was born, there were communists in power, and it was very difficult to find spiritual knowledge. For those people who wanted to develop and comprehend spiritual knowledge, the situation was much worse than now. In those days, there were no divine chants, there were no appropriate books, there were no spiritual masters. Many things were forbidden. So now, we live in a good time, when there is knowledge, masters, and we can meet them, communicate with them, and we can gather in groups and pray together. Guardian, what are the chances of things getting worse? The same student asked anxiously. The chances are great, and this probability is growing in the world continuously. The sage replied. And there was a rumble of uneasy, concerned voices among the assembled students. Looking around the crowd, the master continued to speak. It's still a good time now. He repeated. And there was a moment of silence in the natural clearing. You have an opportunity to discover the knowledge, meet the master, and find your spiritual path. You should use this time before it ends, and it can happen at any moment. You should use every day and every minute for development and spiritual growth. Develop yourself and help other people to develop. You cannot put off development, you cannot put off doing good deeds. You cannot put off prayer, because time is always limited, opportunities are always limited. If we do not use them all, then it will be too late. Something like a communist or fascist regime may arise again, and spirituality will be banned again. The Guardian's speech was very stimulating and uplifting. Literally in the shortest time, the minds of the students were transformed. They were receiving important insights that enabled them to see a further part of the spiritual path, and this snatched them out of absolute darkness. As he finished his explanations, a green-eyed woman with shoulder-length dark hair and fine, regular features stepped forward. "Great Master, tell me, how do we show up in a stressful situation? How do we prepare for war?" she asked in a high voice, looking hopefully at the Guardian. "How do I help people in a panic if I suddenly find myself in the thick of things? How do I tune in and influence myself, people, and the situation?"
"Good question, Alexandra," said the sage. "To answer it, you need to understand what panic is and where it comes from." He paused and looked intently at his student through the glow of the fire. The woman contemplated and mumbled with a degree of doubt. "Panic is our negative emotions, our fears, right?"
"Yes, that's right." The Guardian of Knowledge nodded approvingly. "Panic is a negative emotion that is triggered by various thoughts about oneself, about one's comfort and well-being. If this comfort is threatened by something, a person begins to worry about themselves and goes into panic. And if a person, instead of only focusing on their self-interest, begins to think about other people, how to help them, how to do something good, useful and kind, then no panic will arise. Mercy, compassion, and sublime emotions will appear instead. These inspire a person to act by helping other people. Therefore, we need to tune into other people more. Think of how you can help your neighbor and do something good, kind, bright, and then you will not panic. It is important to know that this same condition can be transmitted to other people. Then their panic will stop, and people will start to help each other. That is the only way they can be saved."
"Thank you for the clarification, Master." Alexandra thanked him sincerely. "I will try to look at it from this angle." She thought for a moment, gathering her thoughts, and the sage realized that she wanted to ask another question. "Master, how to find the golden mean between accepting everything that happens, what God sends us, and the desire to change everything, the desire to fight and act? How do we understand whether God wants us to accept things or to fight?"
"To fight, we must first accept the situation as it is. Often a person wants to stick their head in the sand, like an ostrich, not to see the situation realistically. Or, they try to ignore it altogether, or they want to see it in their own way because they do not accept it. They do not like it and it hurts them. But think about it, how do we fight it if we are blind? If we hide from the situation, if we don't want to see it for real?" Alexandra thought for a moment. Her face reflected intense inner work. The Master, meanwhile, continued. "That's why we have to open our eyes, accept the situation as it is given to us by God. And then, when we really see it, we must begin to fight to change that situation, to improve it, to help as many people as possible, to save them. Then God will be on our side, because God will see that we have accepted the situation and become guides of God's will." Flames of gratitude flashed in Alexandra's eyes, and meanwhile, Tatyana raised her hand again. Adjusting the colorful scarf on her shoulders, she stepped towards the Master.
"Beloved Master, I have long wanted to ask," she began. "Why doesn't the Savior or the Great Wise Soul incarnate in a woman's body? After all, as we remember, Jesus, Krishna, Osho, Buddha, they were all men. There was a time when women were severely oppressed," the sage began to tell. "Even if a woman reached a high spiritual level, the chauvinistic world, ruled by men, did not take her seriously, and did not recognize her as a spiritual mentor.
It was believed that only a man could be a sage, only a man could be a student. But women save this world with their softness, kindness and love, Tatyana said with sincere incomprehension and hidden offense. So it turns out that someone tried to suppress femininity on purpose. Yes, Tatyana, well done. You made the right conclusion. The sage nodded approvingly. That was the world when the dark forces ruled. They were trying to suppress femininity, because masculinity is aggressive by nature. It tends to cause destruction and war. For example, the simple fact is that there are far more men than women among criminals. 10 times more. Even if we look at female criminals, we see that their masculine part, the masculine aggression, is predominant in them. The dark forces wanted to oppress women in every way possible, to make them play as small a role in life as possible. They wanted to emphasize the masculine aggressive part, so that there would be more wars, conflicts, commodity riots and oppression of other people. But are the situations today any different from back then? Tatyana asked doubtfully. Yes, they are. Now, in a certain part of the planet, this situation has changed. Women can be active again, they can act on equal terms with men. Thanks to this, there is more feminine energy in the world, which means more kindness, compassion, empathy, patience, and love. The amount of aggressive masculine energy is decreasing, and this is very good because the more there is positive feminine energy on Earth, the faster peace and prosperity will come. It is the masculine aggressive energy that creates wars and all kinds of other disasters on Earth. As you can see, there are a lot of men in politics now, which is why there are still conflicts, wars, imposition of ideologies, distortion of the truth, and oppression of free thinking in the world. We need to keep thinking about the liberation of women, so that the feminine essence will come out from under the yoke of male chauvinism, and then there will be peace and prosperity on Earth. Inspired by the answer, Tatyana looked at the master with gratitude. The guardian responded to her with a look of encouragement, and again directed his attention to the students gathered around the fire. Sage, tell me, why is it that the more a human being gets, the less they appreciate it? Irina asked a new question, raising her hand again. I often notice that sometimes new students are more emotional and grateful, while those who have been studying for a long time take knowledge for granted. The point is that when we begin anything, at first, we cannot do it mechanically, because we have to study it. The master explained in detail and paused, choosing an analogy to help the students understand. For example, when we begin to drive a car or to use a computer, we cannot just casually do it, because we have to study the computer or the car, how it moves, how it is organized. But after having studied the computer or the car, we start doing everything mechanically. The body moves our fingers, hands, and feet mechanically. Our attention and emotions are no longer involved in those actions. Is it the same with spiritual practices? Irina specified. Are they done on autopilot, unconsciously, and become no longer effective? Yes. The master confirmed. Mechanicalness and unconsciousness penetrate into everything. And that is a very dangerous thing. At the beginning, one does the practice with heart and full focus, but then it becomes habitual. After that, a person becomes mechanically active, and they start doing the practice automatically. You have to try to avoid that. Great one, how can we do that? Irina asked. With extra effort. The guardian smiled warmly. We must do the practices with great focus, with great emotion, actively, with great involvement. Both attention and emotion must increase in practice. Only then, spiritual practice will be effective for us, and it will lead us to God, to higher development. If it becomes mechanical, if emotions leave it, if we do it casually, then this practice becomes useless. But why does it happen? Vadim asked. Why does one slip into this mechanicalness? The human body acts in such a way to conserve energy. Why waste energy? our body thinks. Now that I have learned the skill, I will repeat these learned actions mechanically, as a matter of habit. This is how the body tries to save energy. But in spiritual development, this plays tricks on us. If we start saving energy on the spiritual path, then all of our efforts turn into a formality, into a mechanical action, which does not lead us to development. So it appears that those people who have been on the spiritual path for a long time, they stay on it only formally. Lisa asked, looking at the guardian with surprise. Yes, it happens. He nodded modestly. That's why you have to be constantly aware of this problem. As soon as you see that emotions leave the practice, that your attention becomes distracted, that you do the practice without soul, without total immersion, then you are being overtaken by mechanicalness. And as soon as you notice this, you have to start making extra effort right away. That effort is spiritual development. We have to do spiritual practices with focus, with as much sublime emotion as we can. Then the practice will work well again, and we will continue our development. We will be able to know the truth, to develop good qualities of character and come closer to God from this cultivated energy. A student and follower of Gurdjieff, Ispensky, while dying, said to his students only these two words. Effort, more effort. That is, he emphasized that without additional effort, we cannot truly develop. Without additional effort, everything would turn into mechanicalness and lose its meaning. The master finished speaking, and while waiting for more questions, looked intently at the students who gathered around the fire. A thin woman with ash gray hair, combed back, and square glasses gleaming on the bridge of her nose, raised her hand. Guardian, I've been a teacher all my life. She began, and for the last 30 years, I've been seeing a sad picture. When I look at our children and my students, I see our society degrading. If we do not change the system of education completely, very soon there will be no one to save the earth and civilization. The woman's voice sounded with pinching, sincere emotional pain. What should we do? Is there a chance to change the system? The sage looked at the woman with understanding and light sadness. Vera, you always have to start with yourself. He gently said. Once we change ourselves, we will be able to help the people around us to change. And in this way, a wave of change can sweep through the world. Then big changes will begin, and that includes within our educational system. Vera nodded, accepting the master's words and looked up again. Master, am I correct in assuming that the main trouble is children's withdrawal from reality? She asked and, after a pause, hastened to explain. Children spend more and more time using phones and computers. They are drowning in an illusory reality, becoming slaves to it, disconnected from real life, from the reality around them, from the present. Can we stop this? Should we? The guardian of knowledge took a few steps closer to the burning fire, looking thoughtfully at the glowing buds of smoldering embers. Yes, that's a big problem. He said. Only in the present can we awaken. Even within the present moment it's difficult, it takes effort. And if one is caught up in an illusory reality, then much more effort is needed. So we should try to educate our children, so that they become less occupied with computers and telephones, and less involved in illusory reality. You have to bring them back into the present. Then they will be able to awaken more quickly and realize the truth. Master, you talk about the importance of effort in spiritual practice. Tatyana said, stepping forward again. There are so many practices on YouTube channels and in books. If you change spiritual practices regularly, will it help you awaken faster? Yes, changing practices is a very good thing. The sage affirmed explicitly. As soon as you see that some practice has become mechanical for you, it no longer awakens your emotions, you can replace it with another practice that is a little similar to the one you were using before. Or with one that is completely different. When you do a new practice, while you're learning to master it, you're directing your attention to it. You can't master a spiritual practice without illuminating it with the lens of attention, without evoking a sublime emotion. So new practices help us to awaken for a while. Once you notice that a practice has become mechanical, you can replace it with another practice or make an extra effort in that practice to breathe emotion into it again. "Thank you, Master," said Tatyana enthusiastically, expressing sincere gratitude that came from the depths of her soul. Many students shared this enthusiasm. Their concentrated faces were lit with understanding. The anxiety that one could notice in many just before the start of the spiritual conversation gave way to a calm determination and enthusiasm. Much was said today about the war, which evoked a sea of negative emotions. Confusion, anxiety, and fear. The conversation with the sage was an opportunity for many to find their lost reference points, gain the necessary awareness, and understand in depth the reasons for the events that are happening on Earth. The students clearly saw the truth, realized the importance of further spiritual work, and their own efforts on the spiritual path. Looking at the grateful students, the guardian of knowledge smiled and started reciting a spiritual poem as he always did at the conclusion of a spiritual conversation. "The stream of time carries away the old forms without a trace. The eternal aspirations of the ages flow as an endless chain. In the unity of the world's laws, the cause of the connection of all things. And the dharma of the true canons we know not from speech. The cycle of all forms of space came to us from the void, and in their fairy tale decoration passed by with illusory features. Behind their veil remains an everlasting, eternal world, whose rhythm beats infinitely of the ether's intricate cobweb. And Nuo knows all the worlds of the universe in a single essence to the end, will be free from perishable flesh, merging with the love of the Creator."
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.